Hare Krishna, can you hear my voice? Am I audible? Okay, let's start. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namini. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sadi Gaurava Bhaktavinoda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So thank you all very much for joining today's session. We have been discussing from the second chapter of the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So in the previous chapter, Shaunaka the Rishis had asked six questions to Suta Goswami. In response to that, Suta Goswami starts answering the questions in this particular section. So the second question that was asked was, what is the means to attain the highest goal? What is the sadhana? What is the topmost sadhana? Or what is the abhideya? So Srila Suta Goswami says, Savai pumsam paro dharmo yato bhakti radokshaje ahaituki aprtihata yayatma suprasidati. He says that the supreme dharma of all human beings is that practice by which one develops pure love for Krishna. And that practice should be ahaituki, it must be self-causative, or it must not have any other cause other than itself. And apratihata, it must not be obstructed by karma, jnana, yoga, etc. So, and yaya, atma suprasidati, and that practice actually completely satisfies the mind. That actually satisfies the mind. So, and then in the we saw how it is actually sadhana bhakti only which fits this description perfectly. And then how does the mind, or what is the form of satisfaction of that mind? What form does the satisfaction of mind take? And why does the mind become satisfied by such a practice? Because Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojitaha Janayatyashu Vairagyam Jnanam Jayadahaitukam. So it says that Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga, Bhakti dedicated to Lord Krishna, Prayojitaha. Prayojitaha means endowed with special moods in the form of Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, and Madhurya. You know, it satisfies the person so much that Janayati Ashu Vairagyam. Very quickly, one develops detachment from things of this world because of the higher taste that one experiences through, Bhakti Yoga Prayojitaha, due to the experience of the various kinds of rasas in the association of Krishna. Therefore, Janayati Ashu Vairagyam. Very naturally, it develops a sense of detachment due to the higher taste. And Jnanam Chayat Ahaitukam. And one also develops the knowledge which is devoid of the desire for liberation. Knowledge of the Lord which is devoid of the desire for liberation. So in that way, Yayatma Suprasidati. Like that. And then we discussed, but one may say, why whenever we talk about dharma, generally we speak about varnashrama dharma only. So when the question was asked as to what is the highest occupation or what is the highest duty of a human being, I thought you would speak about varnashrama dharma, but instead you spoke about yato bhaktir adokshaje. You know, you spoke about this sadhana bhakti. You know, isn't varnashrama dharma the parodharma? So, in response to this, he says, Dharma sunushtita pumsam vishvaksena katasuyaha na utpadaye yadiratim shramayeva hi kevalam. He says that because varnashrama dharma does not produce taste or attraction for the topics of the Lord, what to speak of attraction to the Supreme Lord Himself. Therefore, Shramayeva hi kevalam. Therefore, it is Therefore, it is only wasted effort. So the point is that just mere practice of Varnashram Dharma will not naturally help one develop taste for Krishna Bhakti or topics of Bhakti. So therefore, Varnashram is never the cause of Bhakti. It is the association of devotees only which inspires that particular attraction for Bhakti. So therefore, yadi Vishvaksena Katasu Ratim na Utpade, because this Swanushtita Dharma, Su Anushtita Dharma, you know, perfectly practice Varnashram duty also, because it does not develop taste for the topics of the Lord, it is only wasted effort. In the sense, it will not lead to development of Krishna Prema. But Shramayevahi Kevalam should not be understood to mean it has no utility at all. If it has no utility for anyone, then actually Krishna's intelligence is suspect. Why did he create a system which has no utility? So one not think that it is Shramayevahi Kevalam for everyone. But the point is that it is Shramayevahi Kevalam for those who have identified the goal of life. If they have identified that the highest goal of life is to establish a relationship with Krishna, then for such persons to just depend on Varnashram to achieve that is Shramayevahi Kevalam. They will not attain that goal at all. Right? So, and another meaning is that Dharma Swanushtita Pumsam Vishvaksena Katasu Yaha Na Utpadaye Yadiratim Shramayevahi Kevalam. Another meaning is if the practice of Varnashram duties does not involve the element of Vishvaksena Katasu Rati. If while practicing the Varnashram, if the element of Bhakti is not there in the form of attraction to some topics of Krishna, then such a practice of Varnashram is Shramayevahi Kevalam, because it will not give the goal of that Varnashram, which is Swarga, if it is Sakama Karma, and purification of and eventually liberation if it is Nishkama Karma. So this will not happen if that does not have the, if the practice of Varnashram does not include the element of Bhakti. So in this way, he describes that why Varnashrama Dharma is not considered to be Parodharma. Parodharma is Bhakti only. Okay. So this is where we ended our discussion yesterday. Let us continue this discussion forward now. Then the next question that arises, you know, the next thing that he says is that dharmasya hi apavargasya narto artayopakalpate nartasya dharmaikantasya kamo labaya hi smritaha. Okay. So he says, artaha. Artaha means material results. Nahi artaya upakalpate are not suitable as the goal. Because someone may say, whenever we talk about purusharthas, we talk about dharma, artha, kama and moksha. Okay. So you are telling that the highest goal is none of these four. So, okay, dharma is fine, but artha, the wealth and kama, the gratification that one gets through that wealth, and moksha also, you mean to say, is not the highest purushartha? This is quite rare. I've never heard something like this. So he says, artaha nahi artaya upakalpate. Material results are not suitable as the goal for apavargyasya dharmasya, for a person who is dedicated to the higher spiritual goals. Apavargyasya dharmasya. So for one who has accepted the apavarga dharma or apavargya dharma, for him, he should not get stuck up with the material results which may come. Even for practitioners of bhakti, if you see in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhushila, Rupa Goswami says that Shubhada. Shubhada means practice of bhakti bestows auspiciousness. So what is auspiciousness? Srila Rupa Goswami says, Jagat Preenanam Sarva Jagatam Anuraktata Sat Gunadi Pradatvam Sukha Pradatvam Iti Shubhada. So Shubhada has four aspects. Or auspiciousness means four things. Jagat Preenanam Sarva Jagatam Anuraktata. This means that the person becomes very compassionately disposed towards all living entities, and then all living entities get naturally attracted to that person because of his wonderful qualities. And the third, he says, is Sat Gunadi Pradatvam. He develops all good qualities. Okay. And then he says Sukha Pradatvam. Sukha Pradatvam means a practitioner of bhakti also develops happiness. And Srila Rupa Goswami elaborates on this. Happiness means, he says, Vaishaikam, Brahmam and Aishwaram, he says. Vaishaikam means even on a material sensory level, one develops better gratification. And that gratification comes not from the karma of that person, but it comes due to his practice of bhakti. So Vaishaika Sukha. So Vaishaika Sukha also is a byproduct of bhakti for devotees. Even a better quality of sensory experience. Like many times devotees share that, oh, you know, they actually took up to bhakti. I have never, you know, I was just eating all kinds of junk things. Now, you know, such high quality prasadam I am eating after coming to Krishna consciousness or whatever, you know. So even the material pleasures are so-called pleasure on the level of sensory platform for devotees is a byproduct of bhakti only, which is called as one of the aspects of Shubhada, that Vaishaika Sukha Pradatvam is also a byproduct of bhakti. Of course, it is the unsought result for the devotees. The devotees do not perform bhakti for this purpose, but nevertheless, it comes on its own. So, Sukha Pradatvam, Vaishaika Sukha, Brahma Sukha. And then when one progresses still further on the path of bhakti, then at a still more advanced stage, one experiences a pleasure which is superior or very much comparable to the bliss of liberation. Then, at still higher stages of bhava and prema, one experiences pleasure, which is pleasure of one's relationship with Krishna, which is said to be much more superior and significant in comparison even to the bliss of liberation. Right. So he says, even though by practice of this apavargya dharma, which in this is bhakti, one may get material results, but one should not consider those material results as a suitable goal for one's practice. You know, as an unsought result, one may get these kind of material results. You know, one may get this kind of vaishayika sukha also. So he says, Arthasya labhaya, attainment of material assets, nahi kamaha smritaha, is not the desire, dharma ekantasya dharmasya, for the person who is dedicated to the higher path, you know, attainment of material assets is not the desire. So artha should not be accepted as the goal. While it may incidentally, one may attain that artha by practice of bhakti, but one should not, the practitioner of bhakti should not accept that artha as the goal. So, of the four purusharthas, you know, dharma, artha, or kama, or even moksha for that matter, you know, one may experience these things automatically by practice of bhakti as a secondary result. Artha will also come as a secondary result of practice of bhakti. Kama will also come as a secondary result of practice of bhakti. Even the bliss of moksha, or the bliss equivalent to the bliss of moksha, at some stage of practice of bhakti, one will experience that also. But one should not accept these things as the goal. But as a result of bhakti, one may accept it and utilize it for one's further progress in the path of bhakti, and then not get attached to these things as the goal. So therefore he says, dharmasya hi apavargyasya nartho arthayopakalpate nartasya dharmaikantasya kamo labaya hi smritaha. So he says here that material goals, material results or artha is not a suitable goal for a person dedicated to bhakti. Apavargyasya dharmasya, for a person who is engaged in apavarga dharma, for him artha or kama or even moksha for that matter is not a suitable goal. So here Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti says, there are four types of persons in this world: karmis, jnanis, yogis and bhaktas. It is said, dharmad arthascha kamascha kim artham na sevyate. So Mahabharata says, dharmad, from performance of dharma, arthascha kamascha, comes artha and kama. Kim saha na sevyate artham. Can dharma not be used for any purpose? Huh? So dharma can be used for artha, dharma can be used for kama. So why can't dharma be used for any purpose like that? Mahabharata says. So thus, the result of performance of dharma is artha, which is acquisition of material results. And the result of material acquisition is kama. And the result of kama is the pleasure of the senses. And when the senses are pleased, for further gain of pleasure, one executes the sequence starting with dharma again. So dharma leads to kama, sorry, artha, and artha leads to kama. And to get continued supply of artha and kama, one continues dharma. Dharma artha kama, dharma artha kama, dharma artha kama, like that. It is just like, you know, a person taking care of a cow. He feeds the cow. Okay. This is compared to dharma. Okay. And then he takes milk from the cow. This is called as, this is artha and kama. And then to get continued supply of milk, he regularly feeds the cow, which means to get continued artha and kama, he performs continuous dharma. So dharma, by dharma, dharma you get artha and kama. And then to get continuous saparta and kama, one continues that dharma, right? So this is what the dharma shastra say, right? Perform dharma, you will get artha and kama. And then to get continued supply of artha and kama, continue performing your dharma. So that should be the goal of life. Dharma artha kama, dharma artha kama, dharma artha kama. Like that. So he says, okay, this is true for the karmis, but does not apply to the jnanis, yogis and devotees, because they are all involved in apavargya dharma, a transcendental goal. Okay, that is explained in this verse. Dharma in this verse refers to control of mind and senses, that is shama, dama, etc. for the jnani, to yama, niyama, etc. for the yogis, and to hearing, chanting and other devotional processes for the devotee. This is such a important, presentation. This line is very important. Please look at it very carefully. Dharma in this verse refers to control of mind and senses shamodamastapashaucham, etc. This is for the jnani. Yama, niyama, asana, etc. This is for the yogi. And hearing, chanting and other devotional processes for the devotee. So the point is, we were discussing it the other day also. There is no question of talking about dharma without defining adhikar. Because dharma is defined according to the adhikar. Dharma in term meaning prescribed duties. The duties prescribed is according to one's adhikar. For one who has karma adhikar, his duties are defined by the dharma shastras. And for one who has jnana adhikar, his duties are defined by the jnana shastras. And for one who has yoga adhikar, his duties are defined by the yoga shastras. And for one who has bhakti adhikar, his duties are defined by the bhakti shastras. So you cannot say dharma, dharma, dharma. I mean, dharma means first speak about adhikar, then speak about dharma. Because there is nothing like everyone does the same thing. There is nothing like that. So the definition of dharma changes according to adhikar. Okay. So for bhaktas, it's not that bhaktas are not adharmic. It's just that they may not follow the dharma as defined by the dharma shastras, but that does not mean they don't follow any dharma. They do have dharma or duties defined by the bhakti shastras. Not that the jnanis are adharmic, just that they have their dharma defined by the jnana shastras. Not that the yogis are adharmic, it's just that their dharma is defined by the yoga shastras. So you cannot talk about dharma without talking about adhikar. Then it's a very, very confusing presentation. It's an oversimplification of the principles, because this kind of oversimplification leads to more troubles than actually solving any problem. So one should never be talking about dharma without talking about adhikar or qualification. So people have different qualification. So according to their qualification, there will be a different pramana defining their dharma. Dharmic, everyone should be. Okay. One cannot say a devotee need not be dharmic. But what dharma he will follow is defined by the bhakti shastras and not by the dharma shastras. This is the understanding. Even though the material results appear by executing all these processes, by practice of jnana or yoga or bhakti, one does get some material results, but they are not suitable as the goal. They should not be accepted as the goal. For after examining the nature of material gain, one becomes detached from it. That is indicated in the text by the word apavargyasya. Apavargya means having the goal of apavarga. So for one who has a transcendental goal, they should not accept, even though by practice of bhakti and jnana and yoga, one may get some material benefits also, but one should not accept them as the goal. The vowel is then without a change in meaning, as in such words as swarga. Thus from apavarga comes apavargya and then apavargya. It should be understood that by these processes, apavarga is the concomitant result of practice. That apavarga liberation for the jnani and yogi and prema. That apavarga is liberation for jnani and yogi, and it is prema bhakti for the devotee. Okay. So which means apavargyasya dharmasya. You know, those who are practicing apavarga dharma are jnanis, yogis and bhaktas. But that definition of apavarga for the jnani and yogi is liberation, and for the bhakta, it is prema bhakti. So, in the fifth canto, it is mentioned, अस्मिन् एव वर्षे पुरुषैर् लब्ध जन्मभिः शुक्ललोहित कृष्ण वर्णेन स्वारब्धेन कर्मणा दिव्य मानुष नारक गतयो बह्व्य आत्मना आनुपूर्व्येण सर्वाहि एव सर्वेषां विधीयन्ते यथावर्णं विधानम् अपवर्गश्चापि भवति. इन भारत वर्ष मेनी डेस्टिनेशन हेवनली ह्यूमन एंड हेलिश आर प्रिस्क्राइब फॉर ऑल पीपल बिकॉज पीपल टेक बर्थ अकॉर्डिंग टू एक्शंस इन सत्व रजस एंड तमस. ऑल दीज डेस्टिनेशंस आर प्रिस्क्राइब फॉर द सेल्फ अकॉर्डिंग टू द क्वालिटी ऑफ देयर एक्शंस एज इंडिकेटेड इन द वेदास. Liberation is then achieved, then after that. So that liberation, whose essential nature is unmotivated bhakti yoga, yaha, that liberation, ananya nimitta bhakti yoga lakshanaha, whose essential nature is unmotivated bhakti yoga, bhagavati, unto the Lord which is full of qualities, sarva bhuta atmani, who attracts the minds of all beings, who is not the object of merging, and who is not led by material words and remains beyond destruction and of the universe, who is the most excellent Atma, who is the son of Vasudev, takes place by the destruction of the knot of ignorance which causes various material goals when there is association with devotees of the Lord. So essentially the point here is that rest of the verse don't forget about it. Here you see the previous verse, it is mentioned that apavargas chapi bhavati, liberation is then achieved. So the word used is apavargaha, and then he says yaha here refers to apavargaha, and this apavarga he says ananya nimitta bhakti yoga lakshanaha bhagavati. The nature of this liberation is unmotivated bhakti yoga to the Lord who is full of all qualities. So the reason why these two verses are quoted here by Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur is to indicate that apavarga does not always mean only liberation. Apavarga also means prema, and that is why to indicate that the word apavarga is used also in conjunction with prema, he quotes these two verses, where here the word apavarga is used in conjunction with bhakti and the result of bhakti, which is prema. Another verse from the first canto, 18th chapter. Savai mahabhagavata parikshit yenapavargakya madabra buddhihi jnanena vayasaki shabditena beje kagendra dvajapada moolam. So it says, Savai Mahabhagavatah Parikshit, that great devotee Parikshit Maharaj, Adabra Buddhihi, with pure intelligence, Yena Apavargakyam Bheje, he attained liberation. Apavargakyam Bheje. Bheje means he attained. But what is that liberation? Kagendra Dvaja Pada Moolam. That liberation was in the form of the feet of the Lord having a flag marked with Garuda. Vayasaki Shabditena Jnanena. Through knowledge spoken by Shukadeva Goswami, Parikshit Maharaj attained Apavarga. But what is that Apavarga? It's here, it says, the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. So which means Apavarga. This is another proof which is quoted here by Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur to say that Apavarga does not always mean liberation, even though the generic meaning of the word apavarga may be liberation, but apavarga also means Krishna prema with respect to the devotees, and this kind of usage is not very uncommon in Srimad Bhagavatam. So he quotes verses from Srimad Bhagavatam to substantiate this point, that the word apavarga for devotees refers to prema, like that. Okay. So then further he says, as well in Skanda Puran it is said, Nishchala Tvayi Bhaktir Ya Saiva Muktir Janardana Mukta Yeva Hi Bhaktaste Tava Vishnu Yato Hare. O Janardana, O Lord, O Vishnu, that bhakti which is fixed on you, Nishchala Tvayi Ya Bhakti Hi स एव मुक्तिः इज कॉल्ड लिबरेशन। यतो तव भक्ताः मुक्ता एव हि बिकॉज ऑफ विच योर डिवोटीज आर सर्टनली लिबरेटेड। सो हियर अगेन द वर्ड मुक्ति इज यूज्ड इन कंजंक्शन विथ भक्ति और प्रेमा। सो देयरफॉर आपवर्ग्यस्य धर्मस्य धर्मस्य हि आपवर्ग्यस्य शुड नॉट इंडिकेट ओनली दि ज्ञानीज एंड द योगीज बट इट शुड ऑल्सो इंक्लूड दि डिवोटीज बिकॉज because devotees also attain the goal of devotees also is apavarga but this is apavarga in the form of the lotus feet of Krishna. Therefore the desire of the avid practitioner should not be for attaining material results. Arthasya kamo labaya na na arthasya kamo labaya. Through artha one should not try to enjoy kama. So the purpose is apavarga, apavargyasya dharmasya. So this is what here Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explains. So this is because for the avid practitioner of apavarga dharma, the practice itself has its own results. Okay, the practice itself, shravanam, kirtanam, etc., in itself become the results. You know, just like the unripe mango becomes a ripe mango. In certain actions, the jnanis use material assets which are favorable for shama and dama, and the yogis use material assets which are favorable for yama and niyama. The devotee uses material assets for service to the Lord and his devotees. This is clear. Not that, you know, the artha which comes, a devotee says, no, this is not the goal, so I will not utilize it only. No, that is not the point. They use it in the service of Krishna, but that is not the goal of their life. Okay, they may use it, but that is not the goal of their life. Okay, so this is the verse number 9. So now he continues. Kamasya nendriya pritir labo jiveta yavata jivasya tatva jignyasa नार्थो यस्चेह कर्मभिः कामस्य। सो कामस्य ही हियर रेफर्स टू अपवर्ग कामस्य, वन हू डिजायर्स अपवर्ग। ओके, सो फॉर कामस्य इंद्रिय प्रीति ही न लाभः। So in the previous verse, artha was mentioned not as the goal. So here kama is not the goal. That is made clear in this verse. So in the previous verse, it was made clear that artha is not the goal for one who is pursuing apavarga dharma. And now he just mentioned, kama is not the goal for one performing, pursuing apavarga dharma. Kamasya, for one who desires apavarga, apavarga kamasya, indriya pritihi na labaha, sense pleasure attained from enjoying sense objects is not the goal. Even though by practice of bhakti, one may get superior level of sense enjoyment, but one should not think that is the goal of my practice of bhakti. Okay. Jiveta yavata. As long as one lives, one should never think that kama is the goal of my performing bhakti. Jivasya tatva jigyasa. The goal of life is inquiry into the highest truth. Yascha iha karma bihi na artaha. Whatever is accomplished by one's varnashram prescribed duties is not the goal. So such kind of things may incidentally come to a devotee practicing bhakti, but one should not consider that to be the goal of his practice. So the previous verse mentioned that how the first, what is proper dharma for a devotee is mentioned. that dharma is not varnashrama dharma, that dharma is shravanam, kirtanam, etc. And just like dharma leads to artha and kama, similarly by practice of parodharma also one may get some artha, but one should understand that the goal of life should not be that artha. And similarly one may get some kama also, and in this verse he says kama also is not the goal of life. Kamasya na indriya pritir labo jiveta yavata. So the for the apavarga kama, for one who aspires after the apavarga or Krishna prema or liberation for that matter, the kama that one incidentally gets should not be understood to be the goal. Indriya pritir na labaha jiveta yavata, as long as one lives. Jivasya tattva jignyasa, rather one should consider the goal of life, inquiry into the highest truth, saddharmicha. Whatever is accomplished by the practice of this varnashrama dharma should not be accepted to be the goal. So here Srila Vishnachakra Thakur says, the pleasure of the senses, indriya priti, arising from enjoying the sense objects is not the goal. Na labaha. Yavata jiveta apavarga. Rather, as long as one lives, one should work for the fulfillment of life. The pleasure of the senses from enjoyment for the jnanis or the yogis, consisting of the secondary results that appear along with the dead results, is designated as results of action. So, since jnana and yoga are transformations of nishkama karma, they perceive whatever happiness and distress they experience as results of karma. So, you know, it is only nishkama karma which transforms into jnana and yoga. Arurukshor muner yogam karma karanam uchyate, yoga rudasya tasyeva shamak karanam uchyate. Tavat karmani kurvita na nirvidyeta yavata. So, these verses indicate that how it means tatsvayam yoga samsiddhir kalenatmani vindati. So naturally when nishkama karma matures, it leads to jnana, and naturally when nishkama karma matures, it leads to yoga. So therefore, for the jnanis and yogis, the happiness and distress that they experience, they learn to see it as a result of their own karma. But for the devotees, the pleasure of the senses from sense objects which accompany bhakti, however, are not called fruits of action or karma, since bhakti is not a transformation of karma. So nishkama karma yoga at some stage does not mature into bhakti. So when we say this yoga ladder, sakama karma then leads to nishkama karma yoga, then it leads to jnana yoga, then it leads to ashtanga yoga, then it leads to liberation. And before liberation, there is a stage called Jnana Sannyas and Yoga Sannyas, where as a part of the practice of Jnana Yoga or Ashtanga Yoga, one gives up the limbs of Jnana and Yoga, and what is left is only the limb of Bhakti, the secondary limb of Bhakti is left. But that is not Shuddha Bhakti. So in this yoga ladder, actually bhakti comes before liberation, but that bhakti is not anyabhilashita shunyam jnana karma janavartam anukulyena krishna anushilanam bhakti. So therefore, bhakti is not a transformation of karma. So therefore, when they experience pain or pleasure, that is a result of their own practice of bhakti properly or improperly. Pain they see as bunjana eva atmakritam vipakam. They accept pain as a result of, oh, maybe I must have committed some offenses. So the devotees learn to see their pain as the result of their commission of some offenses during the practice of bhakti. So the devotees, however, perceive happiness to be the result of bhakti only and not as karma. They regard suffering as the mercy of the Lord. Yasyaham anugrinami harishyeta dhanam shanaihi tato adhanam tajantyasya svajana dukkha dukkitam. If I especially favor someone, I gradually deprive him of his wealth. Then the relatives and friends of such a poverty-stricken man abandon him. In this way, he suffers one distress after another. But this distress is only to inspire the jiva to take shelter of Krishna so that eventually the Supreme Lord can bestow a transcendental bliss to the jiva. Otherwise, if he keeps getting absorbed in this material pleasures, then he will not be interested to pursue the transcendental pleasure that bhakti can give. So therefore, for the devotees, for the sadhakas who have made it a point or who have agreed to pursue the apavarga dharma of prema bhakti, Krishna personally may sometimes, this is not a standard rule. It's not that whoever takes up to bhakti, Krishna will take away all their wealth. This is not true. Okay. Krishna may sometimes do it in order to pull the devotee closer to his lotus feet. Just like, if you fast for a while, it increases the appetite and it increases the experience of relishing the feast. So even though hunger, the pangs of hunger is a kind of suffering only, but still that kind of suffering enhances the experience of pleasure that comes due to feasting. So the Lord personally bestows suffering to the living entities also. So a devotee's happiness and suffering is not due to karma. It is due to the mercy of the Lord. So taking this statement of the Lord into consideration, according to the particular case, the devotee's suffering should be regarded as direct action of the Lord or as a result of devotional offenses. Okay. So that is how a devotee should see. The goal of life is inquiry into the highest truth. Okay. So jivasya tattva jignasa. What is accomplished by the performance of karmas such as attaining swarga is not the goal. Okay. So in this way, in this verse he says kama is not the goal, and in the previous verse he says artha is not a suitable goal for a person dedicated to bhakti. Then he says that jivasya tattva jigyasa. So jivasya tattva jigyasa, the purpose of human life is to inquire into the higher truths, tattva. So now what is that tattva? This is a long purport, but we will just see the verse and then maybe we will pause for some discussion. So what is that tattva? So that which is mentioned in tattva jigyasa. Jivasya tattva jigyasa nato yascheha karma bhi. So you say that the goal of life should be tattva jigyasa. So what is that tattva about which we have to perform that jigyasa? Or that inquiry. So he says, vadanti tat tattva vidas tattvam yad jnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavaniti shabdete. जस्ट तत्व विदह द नोवर्स ऑफ ट्रूथ वदंती दे कॉल यत तत्वम दे कॉल दिस ट्रूथ एस ज्ञानम अद्वयम दे कॉल दिस एस अद्वय ज्ञान नॉन ड्यूअल नॉलेज ओके तत् द सुप्रीम कॉन्शियस बीइंग हु इज कॉल्ड तत् शब्द्यते एस ब्रह्मेति परमात्मेति भगवानिति सो दट सुप्रीम कॉन्शियस बीइंग इज कॉल्ड एस ब्रह्मन बाय द ज्ञानीज परमात्मा बाय द योगीज एंड भगवान बाय द डिवोटीज बट इट्स टॉकिंग अबाउट ओनली वन एस्पेक्ट विच इज तत् दट सुप्रीम एब्सोल्यूट रियालिटी सुप्रीम एब्सोल्यूट ट्रूथ सो वाट इज दट जीवस्य तत्व जिज्ञासा You know, one should dedicate one's life to Tattva Jigyasa. What is that Tattva? The knowers of truth call this truth, Tat Tattvam, as Advaya Jnanam, Jnanam Advayam, the non-dual knowledge. The Supreme Conscious Being, who is called Shabdyate as Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavaniti. As Brahman by the Jnanis, Paramatma by the Yogis, and Bhagavan by the devotees. Right? So here he says, what is that highest truth, Tattvam? This verse explains, it is Advaya Jnanam. And what is Jnanam? It is called Brahman. What the Jnanis call Brahman is Jnanam. According to them, it is without form, without distinction of knower and known, a condition of consciousness alone. And this jnanam is called paramatma by the yogis. This jnanam is advaitam or advayam because of oneness between him and his shaktis, the jiva and prakriti. Shakti shakti matayor abhedat. You know, there is because of non-difference between because of non-difference between the Shakti and the Shaktiman. So therefore, it is called as Advaya Jnana. Because as cause he pervades the effect, this universe, the prison-like abode, and because Paramatma is non-different from his form and abodes through particularization of his consciousness aspect. This is described in little bit more details. We were discussing this in Laghu Bhagavata Amrita yesterday. I will not go into the details today. Maybe tomorrow we will get into the details. So, Advaya Jnana, you know. So, there is non-difference between his Shakti and himself. Okay. So, the Shaktis are Jiva Shakti, which is the Tatastha Shakti. And the Bahiranga Shakti, which is the Prakriti. And also in a sense, there is non-difference between the cause and effect. You know, the cause is the Supreme Lord and the effect is this universe. Okay. And also, yes. So according to the yogis, the form of Paramatma is still pure jnana because his form is also the same knowledge. So according to the yogis, Brahman is jnana. And according to the yogis also, the form of Paramatma is a kind of pure knowledge. Even though he is pure jnana, Paramatma is also the shelter of particularization of jnana because he performs functions such as acting as the witness, upadrashta, anumanta, like that. So Paramatma is just like the sun or a lamp. Though the sun is the very form of light, it is also the possessor of luminosity. Right. So sun is light and sun also enlightens. So it acts as light itself and it acts as the source of illumination also. Thus, there is no contradiction here. Okay. And But this Paramatma is under to have a form also. The form of Paramatma is described in the second canto. Kechit Svadehantar Hridayavakashe Pradeshamatram Purusham Vasantam Chaturbhujam Jaratanga Shankar Dadadaram Dharanaya Smaranti. This is Kechit Dharanaya Smaranti. Some yogis meditate upon the Pradeshamatram Purusham. The Purusha, the Paramatma, who is the size measuring one Pradesha. One Pradesha is like 8 inches, as Prabhupada says. And he resides within the region of the heart, Antar Hrade Avakashe Vasanta, and he holds Shankha Chakra Gada Padma. So this person, this Paramatma form has a form. This Paramatma feature has a form, and at the same time he is knowledge also. So the Brahman is knowledge, the Paramatma is also knowledge. So Advaya Gyan. Okay. So Gyanam Advayam. So this Advaya Gyan is Brahman is Advayam and Jnana. Paramatma is Advayam and Jnana. Bhagavan is Advayam and Jnana. So how is Brahman Advayam and Jnana? How is Paramatma Advayam and Jnana? And how is Bhagavan Advayam and Jnana? You know, that is what he is discussing here. We will continue this discussion tomorrow, because it's a long discussion, and we will not, if we take this, then we will not have time to take some questions. So at this point we will pause and see if there are any quick discussion points, questions, comments, anything anyone would like to share as had. We will take before wind up for the day. So if there are any quick discussion points, questions, you can please raise your hands. Okay. That thing in the chat box, I'll take that first. Rupa Swami also speaks to control senses initially in Upadeshamrita. How do we understand this? Okay, this is in the context of, you know, how, you know, Vairagya is a result of bhakti and it is not practiced. Well, as we discussed before, the kind of Vairagya that we practice is not the kind of dry vairagya which the jnanis and his practice. You know, they, you know, you like it, it gratifies your senses, you give it up. But we don't think in terms of our gratification. We accept and reject based on Krishna's pleasure. So, bhogadityaga Krishnasya hetave, as Srila Rupa Goswami says in the 64 limbs of devotional service. So one accepts and one rejects bhoga and other sides and other types of gratification if it pleases Krishna, not otherwise. Okay, next question. Though bhakti is shown as a higher step in the yoga ladder, bhakti has to be performed right from step one to get even material results. Is this the right understanding? Yes. Yeah. So that bhakti has to be performed throughout, but because it is predominated, okay, this is a very good question. I will just answer it. Okay. So in the yoga ladder, first there is Sakama Karma Yoga, then there is Nishkama Karma Yoga, then there is Jnana Yoga. Let us not explicitly say Ashtanga Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga, you can say. And then there is Bhakti. Then there is liberation. Okay. So now, in Sakama Karma Yoga and in Nishkama Karma Yoga, there is predominance of karma and there is little Bhakti. Okay. So there is little Bhakti. So this is called as karma and not bhakti, because bhakti is minuscule. And in this Jnana Yoga and Ashtanga Yoga, there is predominance of jnana and there is little bhakti. Because this bhakti is minuscule, it is not called as bhakti. And even at this stage of bhakti, this is not called as bhakti yoga, it is called as jnana sannyas. Why? because this is not primarily characterized by presence of bhakti, but this is primarily characterized by acts of the practice of the limbs of jnana. And still here, bhakti is minuscule only. But just because jnana has been given up, that minuscule bhakti is only visible. Otherwise, in the presence of jnana, that minuscule bhakti was not visible. But in the absence of the jnana, bhakti becomes little more visible, even though it is still minuscule. So the question being, so bhakti is there from the beginning, but at the stage of jnana sannyas, because of the absence of any other limbs, the minuscule bhakti seems little bigger. That's all. But otherwise, it is still minuscule only, and it cannot be considered to be Shuddha Bhakti. Is that relevant, Prabhu? Kalanidhi Prabhu? Does it answer your question? Okay. Next. A Nishkama Karmi has karmic reactions left and is under the law of karma. Generally, we hear akarma doesn't lead to reaction. Okay. So, is a Nishkama Karma Yogi still under karma? Well, whatever actions he performs under the spell of Nishkama Karma, when it is directed purely by the Shastras, by the Dharma Shastras, he does not generate any karma. But there may be times when he performs actions being pushed by the anarthas of lust, anger, etc. When he is unable to act under the guidelines of the Dharma Shastras and he succumbs to his anarthas. So when he does that, then there is actually reactions for the Nishkama Karma Yogi also. At that stage, he comes under the grips of karma, like that. Okay, there is another question. How the practice of dharma, which is shravanam, kirtanam, etc., gives material gain for bhaktas? Well, I can ask the same question. How the practice of varnashrama dharma, how does that give material gain for the karmis? Okay. So therefore, it is not a very visible system. Whether it is the law of karma or the hands of Krishna, both are invisible only for the practitioner. How one gets what he gets, it's all invisible. It is not so visible. So therefore, when we have to understand something which is invisible, we have to use the Shabda Praman only. So the Dharma Shastras say that for the karmis, the artha and kama is coming due to their dharma or due to their karma. So that is Shabda Praman. So the law of karma is also invisible. The hands of Krishna is also invisible. So we understand through, so the next part of the question is, then how is it Anya Bilashita Shunyam? That's what we are discussing here. A devotee may not practice bhakti for these material benefits, but as unsought result, the secondary benefits also come. So not that devotees start performing bhakti for these kind of results. So there is another question. Aren't the offenses of a bhakta his karma? Well, if you want to see karma and define karma in that way, if you want to define karma to be generic result, then you can say, yes, the results of his offenses are like his karma. But if you take the strict definition of karma as that which comes as the result of action and bestowed by the law of karma according to the Dharma Shastras, then the results of his offenses is not according to that definition of karma, his karma. But if you take karma to be a generic reaction for misconduct, then the suffering that a devotee gets due to commission of offenses, you can say it is like a kind of karma only. But that is not the way the Dharma Shastras define karma. So if you take the Dharma Shastras definition of karma, then the results of the offenses for a devotee are not karma in that sense. Okay, there is another question. Is it true that for Nishkama Karma Yogi, only Prarabdha Karma remains, but Aprarabdha, Bijam, Kutam, etc. gets destroyed? No. Prarabdha Karma remains. Aprarabdha Karma will potentially get destroyed if he achieves perfection of Nishkama Karma Yoga. Bijam, Kutam will be there in the form of Anarthas. So even devotees, the Bijam, Kutam, etc., it is not immediately destroyed. It is only gradually destroyed. And for Nishkama Karma Yogi, it's all the more gradual. It is not immediate. Okay. So when we are saying that the Jnanis and Yogis get the result of their Nishkarma, are we talking about the material results one gets by the performance of Nishkama Karma Yoga, or is it their Prarabdha Karma? Yeah, even the Prarabdha Karma for the Jnanis and Yogis gets destroyed only at the time of giving up their material body. It's only for the devotees that the Prarabdha Karma is destroyed immediately after one takes up to the practice of bhakti. Anyways, let us take some verbal questions now. Please keep your questions very crisp, okay? And don't ask elaborate questions. Keep it as crisp as possible. Yes, Champaklata Mataji.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranams.
Dandavat, yes.
Prabhuji, you were just talking about the suffering awarded to a devotee by the Lord is the Lord's mercy and it's not due to karma. So are you referring to the pure devotee alone there?
Yes, pure devotees means pure practitioners. So
Can you elaborate on that, Prabhuji, when you say pure practitioners?
Pure practitioners means sadhakas who are practicing pure devotional service. Anya Bilashita Shunyam Jnana Karma Dhyanavritam Anukulyana Krishna Anushilanam. So there is not for mixed devotees. Mixed devotees may have other abhilashas. So here I would like to clarify, even sadhakas are practicing pure devotional service in the sense their goal, they may have other material desires in the form of anarthas, in the form of lust, greed, anger, etc. But they don't consider those desires as goals. So they see them as anarthas which needs to be destroyed. That is why bhakti is anya abhilashita shunyam and it is not anya anar shunyam. So sadhakas, when they practice pure devotional service, they may still be troubled with anarthas in the form of lust, anger, envy, greed. But that does not mean that they have lust, anger, envy, greed, therefore they are mixed devotees. You cannot say like that. So many devotees practice devotional service for the fulfillment of those lust, anger, envy, greed, etc. But sadhakas, they may be embarrassed by these kind of material desires, but they see it as anarthas and want them removed rather than being fulfilled. So therefore, when we talk about pure devotees, it includes pure practitioners. So this includes sadhakas who may very well be under the realm of anarthanavritti.
Okay.
Is that okay, Mataji?
Thank you so much, Bhakti.
Okay. Radha Pramod Prabhu.
Bro, yesterday you were telling this discussion came about this bhakti element in Nishkam Karma Yoga, Jnana and Ashtanga Yoga. That can be practiced without any Shraddha also, because to practice bhakti you don't need Shraddha. So they don't need any Satam Krupa only. They can just directly practice also.
Yeah, that practice of bhakti is due to not bhakti Shraddha, it is due to karma Shraddha only.
That means for practicing bhakti, you don't need Shraddha. Like Ajamila, he didn't add any Shraddha. He did just practice. So, for in this case, yeah, also,
but, other Anthas. No, but that practice is That, but that practice, you don't call it bhakti, na? You can say for performing the limbs of bhakti, you don't need shraddha. But for performing bhakti, you need shraddha. So performing, to incidentally perform the limbs of devotional service, you don't need shraddha. But
so in this case of jnana, nishkama and ashtanga, also they don't need shraddha for bhakti. They just practice.
No. It is, you cannot say like that. There needs to be acceptance of the Supreme Lord, right? Supreme Lord, that acceptance is needed or not?
So they don't need satam krupa na for that, because you don't need shraddha only for that.
It may not be, you can say, pure faith, but some level of sukriti is needed. So that is why artho jigyasur artharthi also are called as sukritina. If they have some sukriti only, so when they are in trouble or when they are in need of wealth or when they are inquisitive, they will approach Krishna only if there is some level of sukriti. So that minuscule like, sukriti is...
No. Like what I am understanding, like say if I wanted to go to Swarga. Now I have faith in the Shastras. Now Shastra is telling, okay, you offer this flower to Lord Vishnu, you will go to heaven. Now I have faith on Shastra, not on the bhakti. So here, this is...
So now my question to you, is there are two categories of people. The Shastras also talk about demigod worship and the Shastras also talk about worshipping Vishnu. Now what decides whether a person will accept the demigod Shastra and worship the demigod or the Shastras which talk about Vishnu worship and worship Vishnu? Is that incidental or is there a reason behind it?
Now, if I am reading Shastras properly, Varnashram Dharma is already directing it to Vishnu only. So if somebody is developing faith on
now my question is, why people get attracted to the peripheral Shastras which about demigod worship, which also seem to talk about some type of Varnashram Dharma actually?
Because there is gradual evolution in the consciousness of a people, which happens, say initially they are Shaktas, then Sauryas, then Ganapatyas, then Shaivites, then comes white. So it is gradually
does it mean that one who has attraction to demigods naturally will evolve to become Vishnu worshippers?
Yeah, somebody who is already practicing Varnashrama, he comes in contact, he is in that system, he is having a Brahmana, is following Varnashrama. You go to him, you also say, okay, you follow this Varnashrama, you follow this.
Well, so, but this
for
needs
him,
to be...
He need not be, he not have... He need not have that,
so when he comes in touch with the system, if there is absolutely no Vishnu worshipper, let's say, if every single person around him, none of them is a Vishnu worshipper, will he automatically become a Vishnu worshipper?
That is not possible to even become Jnani and Yogi also, na Prabhu?
Yeah, true. So association is needed for everything.
But Jnani and Yogi, you don't call it Ajnata Sukriti, na?
No. We don't call it Ajnata Sukriti, but it is something like that only.
Even for Jnani and Yogi also, it is applicable then.
Yeah, it is applicable. Just that we don't call it Ajnata Sukriti. So what is Ajnata Sukriti? Forget about the terminology. What is Ajnata Sukriti? It is a kind of faith which develops due to experience. So that kind of faith which develops due to experience is there in all practices. It is there in the material world also. You develop trust in something based on an accumulation of favorable experiences. So here you call it...
Prabhu, when it comes to pure Shraddha, there is so much difference is there. Because pure Shraddha is direct innate nature of a living entity. But it is not with karma and jnana.
That is true. I agree with that point. There is the difference. See, there is Veda and there is Abheda. So now I am talking about the similarities. There are similarities. You cannot say there is absolutely no similarities. there are similarities. So similarly, that even the desire to worship Vishnu, even as a secondary limb, it needs some level of sukriti. So it needs some level of sukriti. Without absolutely having that level of sukriti, they will not accept the shastras only. They will not accept the the karma shastras also, which talk about Vishnu worship. They will not accept. That is why Krishna says jana sukriti no Arjuna, like that.
But he is not talking about jnanis and yogis, Napru, in that shloka.
Yeah, but jnanis and yogis also have some minimal sukriti is needed for that. That is my understanding. We can discuss
on
this.
We'll discuss in the afternoon, bro. We'll in the afternoon.
Yeah, we can discuss it in the afternoon session. Yeah. Yes. One last question and then we will pause. Keshav Priya Mataji.
Prabhuji, you are discussing here that those jnanis and yogis, they see karma, like the happiness and distress they are getting is through karma, and bhaktas, they say it is a mercy of the Lord, no, Prabhuji, the distress.
Correct.
We are facing. Yes. And we could see, Prabhuji, even in our movement, like many Maharaj, Guru Maharaj, many people are suffering from cancer, kidney failure, liver failure. Physically, they are having so much of suffering, Prabhuji. How could he perceive it as a mercy of the Lord, Prabhuji? It's quite inconceivable for me to understand that way.
Well, I agree that it is inconceivable for you. There are so many things which are inconceivable and which will remain inconceivable till we mature in our devotional service. So, okay. But here Krishna says, Yasyaham anunami harishyeta dhanam shanaihi. So, he says, if I want to bestow my mercy or compassion on some devotee, I take his wealth away. And I make sure that when his wealth goes away, his relatives also abandon him. So now, how is this mercy?
That at least we can understand, Prabhuji, because materialistically our attachment will be cut off. We will see the true faces of people around. We have an imagination, false illusion that they are all our well wishes. Then we get to know that people are after the money we have. That is understandable, Prabhuji. But,
but there is attachment to body also, na? Isn't there attachment to body? Isn't there attachment, gratification which comes through the body?
Prabhuji, I'm speaking about some high exalted devotees in our movement, even like many people I'm seeing, no, Prabhuji, I see many examples.
Yeah.
They have left everything for the movement. They are working for Prashila Prabhupada's movement. They're giving their life and soul. But still, I could see them suffer bodily at least. So that is the point
but
I must
When you see them suffering bodily, on a bodily platform, I'm still to push the movement forward, what does it do to your devotion?
It inspires inspiration, Prabhuji.
When you feel inspired in devotion in Srila Prabhupada's movement, and when they see that, what will it do to them?
Oh, they will also get benefit out of it.
Not benefit, how will they feel?
Sorry, I couldn't get this, Prabhuji. How will they feel?
When they feel, when you feel so inspired as a disciple, when you see His Holiness Jayapataka Swami Maharaj, despite suffering so much, when he is traveling so much and extending so much to his disciples and the whole world, when you see, what does it do your devotion?
We'll feel inspired to go to get deep into devotion, Prabhuji, because of his
when your Guru Maharaj sees that inspired to go deep into devotion, how will your Guru Maharaj feel?
Very happy, Prabhuji.
So, do you think he will mind his own suffering, as much as he would be overjoyed to see thousands and thousands of his disciples getting inspired?
Yeah, true, Prabhuji.
So, His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj, when in his last days, when he was just going to leave because of his cancer, literally he was sharing with His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj that these people, I have been investing my whole life to transform them, somehow to get them serious in bhakti, or somehow to get them into bhakti. But what my decades of sincere efforts could not accomplish, this few months of cancer could immediately accomplish. So when they come and see me in this situation, and when they see that even now I am willing to give and not take, it immediately has impacted their heart, and they have taken up to devotion very seriously. So Maharaj said, Bhakti Dhritarashtra said, I don't want to trade this position with anyone. Please don't take this cancer away. Because in this situation, the type of service that I am able to render to the mission of Srila Prabhupada is unimaginable. It is much more than what I have rendered in the last many decades. So we see it as suffering. But for them, they see it as an opportunity to please Srila Prabhupada. So it gives them joy like that.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for the wonderful explanation. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Okay, so thank you all very much for your patient listening and your enthusiastic participation. We will continue this discussion tomorrow. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur Pad ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.